Subscriber's amazingly ultimate fundraising superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
Happy New Year. Welcome to the first podcast, Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast, the first one of 2020. It is a new year, so happy new year. When I was in school, in French class and in maths class, we used to play Happy New Minute when it was really boring. And you'd count down to the next minute, and then everyone at the table would go, Happy New Minute, and we'd have a little party. And then you do it again, either the next minute or a few minutes later. But it's new year, a new podcast episode. We are getting back into the swing of it. We've got more quick tips coming up, more interviews with interesting people coming up this year. This podcast, I'm going to keep doing it because I love it. But this episode is just really a reflection on 2019 and a little look forward to 2020. You may have seen my Twitter thread, if you follow me on Twitter, where I kind of summarized the highlights and the lowlights of fundraising in 2019. And so I thought I'd just do a podcast version of this because some people don't follow me on Twitter. Some people hate Twitter, and some people are more audio than visual. And so maybe you want to hear me read this or talk through this rather than read it. So really, I just put together like a list of it's about maybe 15 or something, or maybe more, 20. Of the significant things that I thought happened in fundraising in 2019, and the stuff that stood out for me over the years, over the year. So let's kick it off. The first one I pointed out was, is actually fundraising Twitter, hashtag fundraising Twitter. I don't know if you're on Twitter, but Twitter fundraisers started in 2019 really using this hashtag fundraising Twitter. Now, I credit it to a couple of gents, Tim and Clay, who I think were the first to really use it. But it's become like a hashtag to follow and look at. It's essentially, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like people arguing about fundraising and stuff around fundraising. Or it's usually the more controversial threads or people being weird about fundraising. Basically drama. When fundraisers on Twitter turn into like a soap opera, for me, that's hashtag fundraising Twitter. And some people might disagree with that. So sometimes it's just nice to browse that hashtag and see what weird stuff is happening and what people are arguing. And because we're all in the nonprofit sector, generally we're all really lovely and polite. And so the arguments are real, it's very difficult. The way people approach them, they're really polite and really, you know, inspirational to each other and telling each other how great they are, and then they tell them that they're a fucking idiot. And so fundraising Twitter hashtag is interesting. And for me, that was a big part of 2019 fundraising. It was significant. We also had GDPR in 2019. It had already come into place, but I think it really took hold in 2019. More people talking about it. Everything we did, we had to find a GDPR angle. And you know, we're all sick of it already. Really not a whole lot changed, because if our data policies and if we were following the Data Protection Act properly, then not a whole lot changed. But it was more towards just, you know, changing our mindset of not tricking people onto our mailing list, but actually getting people who were engaged and wanted to hear from us. And so maybe it allowed us to think a bit clearer about how we try and find these people. It was interesting. GDPR, 2019, it was truly the year of GDPR. The other big thing was the Notre Dame, the Notre Dame Cathedral fire. Do you remember that? It seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Maybe not even 2019, but it was in 2019. 2019 was the year that something happened in the Notre Dame Cathedral in France, and some probably dude flicked a cigarette or something, or, you know, whatever, had a quick jayer after work, and it started a big fire. But it was interesting with regards to fundraising. You know, you may have heard my podcast about it. People started pledging towards this, and it was a significant time in the fundraising discussion, in the fundraising world, where we were talked about, you know, why are people so quick to respond to a building? versus, you know, people and children who are suffering around the world. And other people saying it's not right to judge what people give their money on. It's just great that they're being generous, and that it's more than a building. It's a significant place, and it holds a lot of memories for people. And obviously, it's a place for people to go to if they want to queue for an hour or two. And so it was really interesting. And then the conversation developed into the next bit, which was all these rich people who pledged to give money, then not giving money, or they were looking for ways to minimize their own personal contribution through tax loopholes and things like this. And so we just went on a big discussion about what is right and what is wrong. And there was no conclusion, of course, as there never is in these things. But it was interesting. It was very significant for fundraising. And actually now we're starting to see it, you know, something a little bit similar already in 2020 with the bushfires in Australia. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that more down the road on a different podcast. But how people and celebrities especially have been very vocal about their giving towards this and the amount raised, because it's such a significant thing. But then obviously there's some people who are saying, hey, we've been talking about climate change and stuff like that for ages, or hey, there's more important things to deal with here. And so, you know, this kind of judging of what other people choose to do with their donations. It's really interesting. The other thing that I thought was interesting in 2019 was the Institute of Fundraising, who I'm a big supporter of. I like them a lot. They are on the path to become chartered in the UK. So what does this mean? You know, for a lot of people outside of the UK, it doesn't necessarily mean much. But actually, it's a very important thing for us as fundraisers, because it adds a bit of legitimacy to the job. It makes fundraising seem like a real profession if you can become a chartered fundraiser, if it's the Chartered Institute of Fundraising, if it gets recognized in the same way that accountants or engineers or whatever type of job, whatever these things. But to get recognized like that, it'd be good for us. It'd be good for the profession, and it'll spread beyond the UK border. So it's something for all of us to pay attention to. It's going to take some time, a couple of years, I believe. But we are all watching eagerly. The other thing, highlight for me from last year, was the launch of Lobster Chat. Do you know Lobster Chat? AKA, also known as Four Fundraisers Talk Shit. If you go to fourfundraisers.com, what you'll find is me, Beata Sorum, you'll find John Lepp, and you'll find Jen Love. And the four of us, once a week, we have a little WhatsApp chat about different things on fundraising. It's usually a bit of mess and a bit of mayhem. There's a lot of opinions, some good sound bites, some good guests. But I really enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite things. It's a chat cast. What does that mean? It's not a podcast. It's basically a readable podcast, like a script or a transcript. And so it's something a little bit weird and different. Chatcast, fourfundraisers.com. Check it out. I enjoy doing it. The other big news, which I talked a lot about last year, was the RNLI stuff. They were the latest charity to get attacked by the Daily Mail and other racists and other annoying journalists who, you know, latched on to this fact. Usually it's about like CEO pay and admin costs and stuff like this. But what they were annoyed about was that we were people who were donating to RNLI, a tiny percentage of their donation was going overseas. It wasn't helping British people. And some British people were really annoyed that their British money was being sent overseas to people who didn't look British and helping them to stop drowning. And that went on for a few weeks. That kind of went on, and people said they're never donating to RNLI again, even though they probably didn't. And there was a whole hubbub. But it was really, you know, it was interesting to watch, especially interesting to see RNLI really be firm about it, really, you know, come out quickly and defend themselves. And they did it really well. To see other charities and other fundraisers defending them, that was really cool. We know in 2020 there's going to be another, you know, fake scandal like this, where the papers are going to latch onto something. They're going to, you know, try and create an outcry. There's going to be some racists and xenophobes who you know, jump on the bandwagon and say, I'll never donate to you again, mate. And I think it's important to, you know, get better at this each year, and better in defending ourselves, better in being outspoken, and better at defending each other. So let's see who gets jumped on next time. We had Brexit. Brexit in 2019. Actually, fucking hell, we had Brexit. When did it start? Like 3 years ago? Oh my God. Still going. Nightmare. Thank God I don't live in England, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. it affects us all. It affects, you know, your organization. It affects, you know, the people's perception towards international organizations, towards international people. It changes travel. It changes, you know, tax. It changes EU funding for coming into the UK and elsewhere. This is significant for all of us. So let's see what happens. The truth is, nobody has a fucking clue what's going to happen with Brexit because the people in charge do not know what they're doing and they do not know where this is going. So let's see what happens. But let's be mindful that we do have to understand that it could have an impact. It was already having an impact on our fundraising and on our profits. And we unfortunately have to keep following the news with it. Big story that ran through a lot of 2019 in all sectors, and the nonprofit sector was no different, and fundraising was no different, was the Me Too movement, hashtag Me Too. And I did a few podcast episodes about it. I did a few, shared a few things online about this. I had great chats with people like Liz LeClaire, Ruby Bailey Pratt. Ms. Rupt came onto the Four Fundraisers chatcast thing. It was kind of everywhere, you know, people were talking about it a lot. Question is, you know, did we make any progress? Has anything changed? I'm probably not the right person to answer that question, but it seemed like more people were talking about it, seemed like people were getting called out about it. People were checking their own behavior and checking others' behavior, which can surely only be a good thing. And it just seems like the movements are happening, but obviously slower than we would all like. And obviously this has been going on for a long time, and it's only maybe in the last couple of years, and especially in 2019, where we started to see it get some real coverage in the fundraising sector. So what's going to happen in 2020 with it? I do not know. And let's see, and let's hope that the conversation keeps at the forefront, let's hope it's a fixture at conferences and in fundraising articles and in articles in the broader sector. Let's keep talking about it, you know, and let's not get complacent. It's easy, especially for men, to get complacent and be like, oh, we still talking about this? Let's get back to talking about fundraising. Why are we talking about Me Too? This is taking a valuable time. But this is really important because it ripples through everything we do. It ripples through all our co-workers, through our donors, through our supporters, through our beneficiaries. So it needs to be, we need to go beyond complacency. We need, or not reach complacency. We need to keep thinking about this and keep talking about this. And I will continue to push this out and continue to have conversations with people who are educating me, especially, but also I hope opening all of our minds into what people are actually going through and what we can actually do about it in this space. What else? Yeah, I mean, 2019 was an interesting one with corporates. I felt like the world turned a little bit more on corporates. In Ireland, we had things like, you know, Guinness getting called out. Guinness have always praised as being a very generous company. But suddenly it seemed like organizations were kind of putting their foot down and saying, you know, this is not really where we should be getting our money from. And we're seeing it as well at the same time that things like Facebook fundraising are rocketing for some organizations. We're also seeing Facebook getting called out for being detrimental to democracy, detrimental to human rights, and actually helping Nazis and other, you know, really, really terrible groups find platforms and find an audience. And so it's a weird one for us as fundraisers because it's like, on one hand, we have these supportive companies like Facebook and Amazon and Instagram and Guinness and all these. And on the other hand, we have to be aware that they're probably damaging the same society that we're trying to improve upon. They're having an impact, negative impact, on the work that we're doing, or they're creating the work that we have to do as in the nonprofit sector. So it's a weird balance because corporates, so many of them are complete bastards, so many of them are evil. Especially what you find in fundraising, you know, generally, this is a bit of a sweeping statement, but let's go for it anyway. Generally, the companies who have money to give away are bastards. Yeah, they have money, they have lots of spare money because of the practices that they do, because they underpay staff like Amazon do, because they take shortcuts with the environment and have negative impacts with the environment like people like Coca-Cola do. The companies who can't really afford to support us are the ones who operate and behave ethically, and that's why their margins are so tight and they don't have all that spare money. And so they're living their values as opposed to throwing a bit of money our way and then talking about it. So we have a very awkward, difficult balance relationship with corporates and corporate sponsors. And in 2019, I felt like it was probably the biggest year for feeling that, seeing the contradiction, seeing one headline talking about how great Facebook fundraisers are, and an immediate headline afterwards seeing how terrible Facebook is for depression and for our lives and for society. So we're seeing these kind of contradictions, and I think it's a conversation that's going to be happening more and more over the next few years. Is what is the right way to get money from this sector? How do we approach this? And why does philanthropy, why should it take the place of tax when really tax is possibly the solution to these issues? What else? We had that, do you remember that research piece? And I did a blog post about it and talked a little bit about it. The research piece that said thank you calls didn't make a difference. They didn't make a difference to retention. They didn't make a difference to income, stuff like that. And that was an interesting little escapade on hashtag fundraising Twitter. We all went a bit nuts and got really angry at it. But then we read it and read that it was pretty much bollocks. Like the research wasn't great and I wouldn't take much from it. And in fact, there's a lot of research going the other way, which says, of course, thank you calls do make a positive impact on our donors. But I think what it highlighted for us to do is to really question this, the accepted research, question the accepted notions of fundraising that, you know, it's easy for us to say, of course this makes a difference, of course this does this. But let's not continue to check ourselves. Let's not continue to question it. Let's not stop researching and trying to understand this and become better at what we do. The biggest scandal of 2019 was probably Meatgate, hashtag Meatgate. And that was the big argument on Twitter about IFC no longer serving meat, even though they did still serve meat. And some people were really unhappy about this, that vegetarianism was being forced down the throats of conference attendees, and that we couldn't even really, you know, some of us struggled to survive for 3 to 4 days without meat because it's what necessary for our health and our human rights or something like that. So I think we're going to see more of this. More and more conferences are trying to be environmentally sound and trying to reduce the number of cows and stuff they slaughter, although someone claimed on Twitter that the amount of meat we eat has nothing to do with the amount of animals there are. But we I think we're going to have to find a balance here where we're not just putting out buckets and buckets of meat at the buffets and then most of it is getting binned, but actually we're trying to be a bit more realistic and reasonable with how we operate our food at these conferences. I mean, let's face it, most of the food is shit anyway. Why are we putting it out there for us to hate it and then it gets chucked in the bin? Let's figure out a better way to do it. But IFC, they're moving that way. They're reducing the amount of meat that's on offer. It's going to have a positive impact on the environment. It does have a positive impact on the environment. And I, for one, I'm all for it, even though I love meat. Speaking of environmentally friendly conferences, we launched Fundraising Everywhere. Myself and Nikki Bell launched Fundraising Everywhere. It was a virtual conference. It went down really well, much better than we had expected even. People really loved it. I would say it was highly successful. And we're doing it again in 2020. So you can look forward to that. We have Fundraising Everywhere conference in November, but we also have the Fundraising Everywhere virtual festival happening in May. And we also have fundraising webinars happening every month. So do check it out at fundraisingeverywhere.com. Really affordable, really reasonable, really excellent training, which you definitely can afford to attend. What else? Giving Tuesday. What do we have to say about Giving Tuesday? I've said a lot about Giving Tuesday, but where is it going? Where is it going in 2020? I've still yet to see any research that shows it increases the chances of donors giving. It makes donors more likely to give. I don't know if Giving Tuesday does that. It makes us more likely to ask. It's helping charities find the courage to ask, which we know then turns into more donations. And that's a good thing. But I feel like, you know, people are giving the wrong element of Giving Tuesday credit. Giving Tuesday is great for nonprofits in terms of educating them, in terms of motivating them, in terms of giving them a reason to ask. Do the public really care about it? I'm still yet to be convinced. People are really not forthcoming with the kind of research that would help that. But let's see what happens with it. It's obviously going to start to taper off a little bit in terms of its growth and popularity. Let's see how they keep it going. Let's see how they maintain it. what's next for Giving Tuesday? I'm looking forward to 2020 and finding out. What else? Right at the end of last year, 2019, we saw some charity people get OBEs and MBEs and, you know, all that noxious stuff in the UK where they give out these awards. And awards? They're not even really awards. Are they? They're recognition by the Commonwealth and the colonial masters of Britain. So it'll be interesting to see that. But actually, also the big news that's just happened is Meghan and Harry are leaving the royal family or something, or they're stepping back from duty. So, I mean, how does that tie in with this? Who cares about this stuff? I don't know. Interestingly, we saw things like the Charity So White campaign. We saw No White Saviors going online. All these interesting things. And stay tuned for Fundraising Everywhere, because we might have a little bit of a feature of those coming into it. But this idea of the white saviors, white people going in, helping the poor black people, helping poor people in the giant country of Africa, that was getting called out more and more because it is obviously not the right perception, not the right power dynamic, and there is a better way to do this. So it was really interesting to watch that conversation of Charity So White, to watch the conversation of No White Saviors, and just to hear more and more people speaking about this and talking about the way forward. I will be keeping a close eye on this in 2020, but I felt in 2019 it was a really significant conversation which really started to get some traction. What else? Climate emergency. Back to climate emergency. But didn't you love Greta Thunberg? She's amazing. She was cool. And there's so many other like kids and youths and young adults and other people putting us to shame, going out there and actually marching for something and standing up for something that was really, really important. And all these old white dickheads who are like looking at them, shouldn't they be in school? And they're too mouthy and all this, and just being real assholes about it. But it's amazing that people are taking stand for this, where my generation and the generation before me didn't. They didn't do this because it's just too dumb and lazy. But it's getting better. I really believe every generation gets better. It's a really beautiful thing to see people getting smarter, getting wiser, getting more in tune with the environment and with other people and with emotions and emotional intelligence. And it's all a positive thing. I love it. So I'm really interested to see what happens with the climate emergency. You know, obviously a lot of countries and a lot of people in power have let us down after all these marches, and just not stepped up where they should have. But things will change. Things will change slowly. We will make steps forward, even though there will be some steps back in the meantime. And that's the case with everything, isn't it, really? I mean, we're seeing positive change in terms of more diverse speakers, in terms of people finding the voices where they hadn't had platforms or had a voice before. And this is really positive that I do believe the world is becoming a better place. It doesn't feel like it sometimes, especially when there's like talk of World War III, when Trump's being an asshole, with Brexit, Boris Johnson, or, you know, just all these dickheads around. It sometimes doesn't feel like it, but the world is getting safer. The world is getting safer every year. Healthcare is getting better. I do believe, you know, we have huge problems with inequality, which is kind of like the number one problem in the world. But it is changing, or it is finding the traction to begin that change. And I think things like the internet, things like podcasts and Twitter and stuff like that, allowing these unheard voices to get a bit more heard is a positive thing. And I do think we are going the right way. It just doesn't always feel like it. But I think it's important that we come into 2020 feeling strong, feeling ready to go, supporting each other, doing the good fundraising that we do, doing the good work that we do, looking after each other, and just trying to use our own emotional intelligence to be aware of each other, be loving of each other, be open, listening, caring, and just to do our best in 2020. That's it. That's my summary of 2019. Really, I just wanted to get the podcast rolling again, and I thought it'd be nice to just do a little summary to wish you all a happy new year and say I'm really looking forward to 2020, looking forward to speaking to you in 2020, looking forward to seeing you at physical conferences around the world, looking forward to seeing you at virtual conferences like Fundraising Everywhere. I will be at them. Come and grab me. Come and talk to me. Drop me an email at simon@changefundraising.com if there's something you want to talk about, or if there's something you want me to cover on the podcast, or you just want to chat in general. It'd be lovely. But otherwise, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for everything in 2019, and onwards and upwards to another fantastic year. Take care.
You've been listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more.
What's up, fundraisers? This is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell, and we are the founders of the virtual fundraising conference, Fundraising Everywhere.
And we have just launched Fundraising Everywhere membership. So if you want full access to the virtual conference every November, if you want full access to the Fundraising Everywhere festival in May, if you want bonus downloads, if you want access to extra sessions, if you want access to VIP events, if you want access to all of my masterclasses online, if you want Pizza for Losers discount, if you want all this stuff and loads more, and a whole bunch of other stuff, which we can't even cram into this tiny podcast ad. But if you want part of that, then go to fundraisingeverywhere.com, become a member, be part of the family, pay a small monthly membership fee to us, and you'll get all of this stuff.
Will that do?